Hello and welcome to Criminal Justice Knowledge. My name is Natalie Miller and I'm very pleased to welcome my guest today, Professor Doug Thompson, one of the faculty members here at Humber in the Criminal Justice degree program. Thank you very much for joining me today, Doug.
Well, great to be here, Natalie.
So today we're going to be talking about techniques of neutralization or neutralization theories. What are techniques of neutralization? What is the theory about?
Well, it's from two guys called Sykes and Matzer, who wrote this in 1957, and they were looking at the main theory at the time in the United States was subculture theory, and which is the whole idea of you're in a subculture and you create those ideas. And they said, well, this doesn't explain everything. So what they did was they sat and thought and looked at people and said, why do you do certain crimes here at this point, but not in a different place and time? So they said, what we actually do is inside our heads, we justify our actions. We internalize, we do something, and then afterwards, either before or afterwards, we justify why we did it. And so we neutralize our actions. We say, oh no, that didn't actually cause any harm. So they came up with five key points that basically go through about how we as individuals, and everyone does this, why we justify our actions to say, oh no, we're not actually committing a crime.
Right. So how would that, would that be explaining why someone would steal a loaf of bread to feed their family? Is that under the techniques of neutralization?
It's a bit more complicated than that. Let me go through them. So if you think about your own actions, so the first one is denial of responsibility. I didn't do it.
Right.
It wasn't my fault. It's as simple as that. It's you were forced into this beyond your control. Society is to blame. Second one is denial of injury. Nothing got harmed. I know I was speeding, going 80 over the speed limit, but no one got hurt. So what's the problem? Simple as that. Or denial of the victim, which is they deserved it. Mm-hmm. They're not actually a victim. They were asking for it. The condemnation of the condemners, so whoever criticizes you, you turn around and say, well, why on earth are you blaming me for drinking alcohol here or being drunk at this lecture? I'm sure you've done far worse. I've seen your Facebook page. And the final one is appeal to high loyalties. That's deferring responsibility to someone else. And from a student's perspective, it's think back to how many times you said, oh, I had to do it because of my friends. My friends needed me to do this. That's why I stole X.
Or went pool hopping, which a lot of people did when I was a teenager.
Yeah. So it's basically you do the act and then you justify it inside your head and to others about why you're doing it.
Right. So how could you relate this to our own actions as students at Humber in terms of minor crimes or cheating? Would cheating be deemed a crime?
Oh, yeah. Well, the great thing about this theory is that you can look upon your own behavior. So how many of us have stolen a pen from work?
Oh, for sure.
But would you steal the same pen from a friend?
Sitting next to
you? It's a lot easier to steal from work because you turn around and say, basically, there was no injury. I stole it from a big company, they're not going to miss it, and anyway, the CEO of the company is corrupt, so I deserve the pen.
Right.
Or if you cheat in an exam, why do you cheat in certain exams and not others?
Right.
So if you don't have any respect for the professor, you'll say, of course I'm going to cheat in the exam because they're far worse. I know they don't mark my essays, they don't care about their job, so why should I? So you're condemning the condemners or denying the victim. If you steal an essay from another student, they deserved it. Or if you're going out at night and you beat up someone or harass your partner, well, they deserved it. They were asking for it. Or it wasn't my fault. I was drunk. I'm so sorry that I hit you or damaged your car or trashed your house. I was drunk. It's not my fault. Or, hey, we had to do it because that was the initiation ceremony for the club, for the chess club that I belong to. We all have to go out and attack people.
Right. So, is there, knowing all of this and knowing why certain individuals are committing crime in the certain situations or contexts that they're in. Is there a way then to reduce crime with that?
It's understanding that we do this. And what happens is that our techniques of neutralization can be increased because we can then justify things. So, for example, at the moment in the United States, we have Donald Trump who's justifying people's racisms and discrimination. And he's saying, well, the president is saying it's okay, so I can do it. Mm-hmm. So it's no worries. If you can turn around and say to people, no, there is a victim. Mm-hmm. The person you are hurting, here is the victim. So what they're doing, what they did sort of years ago in the UK, was restorative sentencing, where you have a young offender, you bring them in, let's say someone who's broken into a house and stolen something, you bring them in to face the victim. And suddenly they realize, I've hurt someone.
Right.
I've really hurt someone. So when you decide, oh, I'm not going to pay taxes, and you think, oh, I'm not hurting anyone. Well, you not paying taxes means the government doesn't have money to employ that nurse who should have been there to help you after you crashed your car because you were speeding, or because you didn't pay taxes, that's the result.
Right.
So it's to realize that your behavior has results.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you are the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And then it changes.
Interesting. This theory is incredibly different from a lot of the other theories. It explains criminal behavior in a different way.
Yeah.
Could talk about this a lot. But I want to thank you again for coming on the podcast.
Great.
Until next time, I'm Natalie Miller, and this has been Criminal Justice Knowledge.